Mr. Secretary, privilege. Nice to see you, sir. Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, as our guest here in Philadelphia to the Big Talker 1210. And thank you for having us here. We think it's a great thing that you're doing, having folks come in from the talk radio world and spend some time with you.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have the folks here.
Mr. Secretary, he needs a little volume in his headset. There you go. Oops, a little too much. There we go. Mr. Secretary, a recurring theme of the program on a day-to-day basis is the situation in Iraq and the WMD issue. I get a lot of email and I get a lot of phone calls on the issue, and I promised the listeners I would tell you a story. Within the last couple of weeks, I received an email from someone who said that the only opinion on the lack of having discovered WMD in Iraq that really should matter is the opinion of family members who've lost loved ones overseas. And I shared that email with my audience, and then I continued on to the next email. And the next email was from someone who said, in the post-9/11 world, better to be safe than sorry. We need to be preemptive. We need to be looking forward, not looking backward. I read those two emails on the air in Philadelphia, and then I took a telephone call from the audience, a random call. It's 45 seconds long, and I'm going to play it for you now. Go ahead, guys.
I'm a parent who lost a son over in Baghdad, and it's not just the soldiers, it's the 3,000 people that were killed in the towers. And this is war. I just hope this country wakes up and realizes it, because I have a grandson due in May, and I certainly don't want him to be under, well, I just hope we all wake up and realize we're at war.
Did you lose a son or a daughter?
I lost a son.
Boy, I'm really sorry to hear that. How old was your son?
He was 35.
Do you mind telling me his name? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
It was Specialist Mayor.
And is the child about to be born his son?
No, it's my daughter's. It would be his nephew.
His nephew. Was your son married?
No, he wasn't. He was just over there doing his job.
In Baghdad.
Like all those soldiers.
Mr. Secretary, that's a father in my listening audience, and he's lost his son, and he's calling me on my program to say, I lost my son in the war against terrorism in response to 9/11, not just WMD and Iraq. Your thoughts?
Well, of course he's right. And the when one thinks about it, we did lose 3,000 people here in the United States at the September 11th tragedy, and the young men and women who are serving all across the world, and particularly in Afghanistan and Iraq, are courageous. They're volunteers, every one of them, and they're proud of what they're doing, and they're doing it brilliantly, and they're making wonderful progress. 50 million people have been liberated, and one has to say that our hearts go out to all the parents and loved ones of those who've lost people in this war on terror or in the September 11th tragedy. It is clearly a war on terror. There is no way to defend against terrorists at every moment of the day or night in every location. The only way to deal with it is to go after the terrorists and the terrorist havens where they exist.
The Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, is our guest on the Michael Smerconish program in Philadelphia on the Big Talker, and we're privileged to have him. I tell you respectfully that I think that the administration and the Department of Defense would be well served taking a page from that caller's book in answering the questions of the national media when they're continually beating you up on where are the WMD, in reminding people it's not a war being waged just about WMD in Iraq. This is a war being waged in the aftermath of 9/11, just as that father said.
Well, you're of course right. I can remember so many times in the lead up to the war when the president would ask, how will the military handle it when Saddam Hussein uses chemical weapons on our troops? And that's why our troops had the chemical suits. And that's why Saddam Hussein had chemical suits, which we found. So, I mean, the idea that there was unanimity. And I think we'll eventually know the ground truth on this. And there's no question but that he had those capabilities and use them on his neighbors and on his own people. So the question is, what happened to them? And we've got 1,000, 1,200 people worrying that through. But the important thing is what the caller said, and namely that this is a global war on terror. We have to pursue it. It is better to be dealing with those terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere around the world than here in the United States.
I promised that father that I would play that phone call for the president. I'm going to do that someday, but at this stage, you're the highest level to which I can play it, so I'm just happy that I was able to bring his thoughts to your attention.
Well, God bless him.
Mr. Secretary, the Spanish vote, to me it represents a victory for the terrorists. I can't imagine that 3 days after our 9/11, we would have elected in this country the more lenient, I guess I'll say. I would have thought that they would have elected the more hawkish of the two parties in that country, but that's not what they did. How do you interpret it?
Well, it's first of all, it just happened. And some 17 resolutions which were defied by Saddam Hussein right now that's been achieved.
There's a lot of media chatter about events in Afghanistan along the border with Pakistan. There was even a report from a French chief of defense saying that we just missed capturing. You're smiling. This is radio. They can't see that at home. Are you smiling because I'm quoting the French, or are you smiling just because the subject matter? But anyway, the question's about bin Laden. How close have we come?
We don't know. We haven't caught him. Close doesn't count. This isn't horseshoes or hand grenades. This is we're trying to capture or kill this man. We don't know if he's alive for sure. So the task is to keep at it, put pressure on the Al-Qaeda network and its affiliates, and we're doing that all across the globe. We're capturing or killing a large number of terrorists and terrorist affiliates, which is a good thing, and it keeps them from killing more innocent men, women, and children. If he's alive, we'll catch him. I don't know when and how close we are at any given moment. We'll, I suppose, find out after it's all over.
Senator Kerry maintains that there are world leaders out there who are supportive of his candidacy. I think a couple of them would be eligible to vote in South Philadelphia, the way we run some of our elections back home. Have you brushed shoulders, Mr. Secretary, with any world leaders who've confessed to you their admiration for the Kerry candidacy?
No, I've been asked to kind of stay out of politics by the president. Colin Powell and I have, but I certainly agree that if that's the case, it'd be interesting for the American people to know who they are, and why they feel that way.
Are you sticking around for a second tour of duty in this job?
This is my second tour of duty.
Third. You know what I'm saying.
I don't know. That's a matter for the president. But I must say, I have great respect for him. He's a well-rooted and solid individual, and it's a privilege to work for him and for the country. And I feel with the difficulties in the world, I feel very fortunate to be able to be a part of it and to try to contribute.
I have to honor your schedule, but I need to pose one concern before we part company. I'm worried that when all is said and done with the expenditure of the loss of life and all of the money and getting rid of an evil fella, that maybe it's 5 years and maybe it's 10 years down the road, but what we've done is given them the opportunity in Iraq to elect a government that's hostile to the United States.
Well, you know, there are not a lot of democracies in that part of the world, and one would hope that the result of this will be a democracy of some kind. It'll be an Iraqi type government, not a U.S. model or a U.K. model or any other country. It has to be an Iraqi approach. And time will tell, but thus far, if one looks at the Constitution, the interim Constitution they fashioned, one has to admire it and respect it and say, well, that's impressive that they've given equal rights to women and that they have, in fact, decided to find ways to protect the rights of minorities and religious minorities and ethnic minorities. So I've got confidence that they have a chance at this. Of course, it took us a long time to get our Constitution. It didn't happen in a year. It took from 1776 to 1789.
If you had one thought that you wanted to convey to folks who live in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Delaware who are listeners of mine about what's going on in Iraq that perhaps they're not getting from the major networks, what would that message be?
Well, I'd say two things. One is that every member of the Congress or the Senate that I've talked to who's been over there, and there have been over 100, 120 of them that have been over to Iraq and Afghanistan to see what's happening, have come back stunned by how much better the situation is than they believed when they went over, from what they'd seen in the press and the media. And the second thing I would say is when you see young men and women in uniform, thank them.
Mr. Secretary, it's a privilege to have you on the Big Talker in Philadelphia. We appreciate your time very much, sir.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. It is now 7:51, 51 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour. Got to take a short break. We're coming back to the Pentagon right after this.